In the book of Romans chapter 1, I want to begin reading at verses 21 to 32. I hear people today who talk about what in the world is going on in our country and so forth. What's going on? And I say this, we're at the end of Romans chapter 1. We're at the end of Romans chapter 1. And I believe, and I see that more and more and more. Just things that have happened in the news today, you can see it more. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading it, verse 21. And notice this, it says, "But that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And here's my understanding of what a reprobate mind is. A reprobate mind is a mind that can no longer think straight. It can no longer, you can't reason with it. You can't reason with it. It doesn't, logic means nothing to the man with a reprobate mind. He can't teach him anything. He can't think straight. And are we not there today? Are we not there today? And then it says that, this, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, the verses that I've read tonight as their text, they summarize the path of deterioration from being a people that knew God to becoming a people whom God has turned over to that reprobate mind. That is a mind that can no longer think right. They knew God at one time, but they have followed a path in which they eventually were turned over to a reprobate mind. Now, this is the path that mankind took from the fall of Adam to the days of Noah. That's exactly the path they took. It took almost 2,000 years. But to look back at Genesis chapter 6, and in Genesis chapter 6, here's what we find has taken place by the time of the days of Noah. Now keep in mind, everybody knew God. Everybody knew God in the Garden of Eden. And then Adam sinned, of course, him and Eve, and plunged the world into sin, and man just got further and further and further away from God. He followed this very path that's laid out for us in my text. And finally, in Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5, the Bible says this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That sounds like a reprobate mind, doesn't it? He can't think anything but evil. And then you look up down at verses 11 and 12. "The earth also was corrupted before God, And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. You see what they did? They followed that path of people that knew God, and they followed the path that's outlined for us in Romans chapter 1, and they became a people that were vain in their imaginations. Just all they could think about was evil and wickedness and violence. This is the path of the nations that the nations took from the days of Noah to the days of Abraham. Whenever Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their spouses came off of the ark, they all knew who the true and the living God was. But it was only a matter of time. It was a rather lengthy period of time, but not all that long. But it was only a matter of time before they had followed this same path. And lo and behold, the whole world is basically gone into paganism. And God has to go down into Ur of the Chaldees, and He calls Abraham out from that paganism to basically start over with a new nation of people, the Jewish people, that were going to be a light to the world. But how did the world get like that after the days of Noah? Well, they just followed the path given here in Romans chapter 1. This is the path that the nations of Western civilization have taken over the last 2,000 years. Western civilization, it did not begin with a Christian basis, but because of the influence of Christianity, and to God be the glory, it's because the Apostle Paul, when he answered that Macedonian call, he went west, even though he had tried to go in other directions, but God took him to the west. And therefore, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul and other missionaries, invaded Western civilization, and they had such an influence on it that it turned into what was for. I was reading something just the other day and said, up until even the days of Winston Churchill, Western civilization was called Christendom, because of the influence of Christianity. And the people in the West, they knew the true and the living God. They knew the true and living God. Our forefathers knew the true and the living God. Our nation was founded upon the things of God. But you know what? Look at what's going on now. Look at what's going on now. You just see it in Romans chapter 1. And now there's violence, there's wickedness. You can't trust your leaders. We're in such a mess. Why? Well, we followed the path of deterioration that's laid out for us here in Romans chapter 1. We have followed that. And most of us here are old enough that we can actually look back and see the path. I've seen it in my lifetime. I've seen us go through, reach this third when God gives them up. I've seen that. And this is also the path that a lot of churches have taken in my own lifetime. Churches that were one time strong, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. And lo and behold, now they don't even believe the Bible anymore. It's just disgusting what is going on in those churches. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. They followed the same path right here. They followed it as churches and entire denominations have found it. This is also the path that a lot of families have taken. Families that once knew God, and they just keep drifting and drifting. And now, in many cases, the families are destroyed. They don't believe in God. They can't. It's just disgusting what's going on. Now, I noticed this as I was thinking about these paths. I thought about before the flood. I thought about from the flood to Abraham. I thought what's taking place in Western civilization. I thought about what's taking place in churches. I thought about what's taking place in a lot of families. And it dawned on me that the smaller the group, the shorter the time necessary to travel this path of deterioration. The smaller the group. It took well over 1,000 years for the entire world to begin out knowing the Lord and deteriorate to this point. But you know what? With Western civilization, it's not taken that long because we're a small part of the world. And then you see our nation, and we're a small part of Western civilization, and it's not taken us but a few hundred years. And then we look at churches. Churches are smaller than an entire nation. And it doesn't take that many years for an entire church or denomination to turn into something that you wouldn't even recognize. And family units are even smaller. And it doesn't take long for a family unit. The smaller the unit of people being affected, the shorter the time it takes for them to travel down this path of deterioration. Now, here's the question that I want to put before us tonight, and I want us to ponder a little bit. Where does this path of deterioration start? It has to start somewhere. Where does this path of deterioration start? And you find it way back here at the beginning of what I began reading tonight, Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. And the Bible says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? Neither were thankful. They didn't glorify God, and they were not thankful. You realize that one of the ways that men glorify God is by being thankful. One of the best ways to glorify God is just by being thankful. Our prayers should include personal expressions of our gratitude, should they not? We're to let our requests be made known before God with thanksgiving, the Bible says. And so whenever we come to pray before our God, we glorify Him whenever we thank Him for what He's already done. Thanking Him for what He's already done. And may God forgive us for just coming to the throne of grace and just always asking for things, instead of just coming to thank God for how good He's been to us. Our speech should be saturated with public expressions of our gratitude. It ought to just be in when we're talking to one another, not only in church, but when we're talking to people out in the marketplace, in the classrooms, wherever it may happen to be. Our speech ought to just be saturated with public expressions of our gratitude, thanking God for how good He's been to us, thanking God for the strength, for the health He's given us, thanking God for the freedoms He's given us. We all just talking to one another, we ought to be expressing our gratitude to God. Our lives should be demonstrations of our gratitude. That's what a Christian life is. It's a life of gratitude. I don't have to do anything in order to be saved. The Lord's done everything necessary to save me. I don't have to do a single thing in the world. But I'm going to tell you what, if I appreciate what the Lord's done for me, then I'm going to want to honor Him with my life. I'm going to honor Him with my life. Often say to the Lord, Lord, please search me. Please, Lord, sanctify me. Anything that dishonors You or displeases You or grieves You or causes a saint or a sinner, anything, Lord, please show me that, Lord. I know I don't owe You anything. I know, God, that my salvation not dependent upon these things. But, Lord, I just love You so much. And I want to just express my love and my gratitude by living a life that honors You. You know, listen, our lives should be demonstrations of our gratitude. This is what we're talking about, glorifying God with our gratitude, with our thanksgiving there. And yet, this is right here where people get off on that path of deterioration. It begins right here with not glorifying God by not being and expressing that by not being grateful in our lives and our conversation and so forth there. Now, how can we tell if we're embarking on this path of deterioration? And these little things came to my mind. We are embarking on the path of deterioration when we are discontent with how God has made us. We are embarking on this path of deterioration when we are discontent with how God has made us. I suppose it's natural for young people to, you know, as you're going through the maturing process and puberty and things of that nature, that you tend to be a little bit concerned about, you know, why has God made you like this? But we ought to grow out of that, amen? We ought to grow out of that. And how sad it is that, you know, there's people doing all kinds of things to their bodies, all kinds of plastic surgery and implants and all this junk. Why don't you just be thankful for how God has made you? And listen, now it's been taken to another extreme where people aren't even content with being a man or a woman. They want to have themselves surgically altered. No, listen, we're embarking on this path of deterioration when we're discontent with how God has made us. Be thankful for what God's made you. He's made you unique. Amen. And we're embarking on this path of deterioration when we're discontent with what God has provided for us. With what God has provided for us. The Lord's been very good to us, has He not? Very good to us. And we ought to be content. I'm not saying that we ought to be lazy. No man ought to be lazy. But we ought to be content with what God has provided for us. And instead of always envy and jealousy and so forth and grumbling because we don't have as much as somebody else. No, we ought to be grateful for what God has provided for us. We're embarking on the path of deterioration when we begin taking credit for our accomplishments and our successes in life. When instead of saying, thank God that He has enabled me to do this, or He's enabled me to be this, or He's given me this, instead we're saying, look what I've done. I want to take credit for this. I want to take credit for my accomplishments and my successes. It's like God wasn't necessary. We could have done it without Him there. We are embarking on the path of deterioration when we are consumed with criticism and mockery of our heritage. I tell you, we have a rich heritage as a country, a very rich heritage as a country. And yet today, there's so many people, all they can do is criticize and make fun of our national heritage. It disgusts me. It grieves me. I was reading something yesterday, I believe it was, and some celebrity was basically using profane language and talking about he wasn't going to celebrate Thanksgiving. He was basically ashamed of our heritage there. But listen, if you're making fun of your national heritage, then you know what? You've embarked on this path of deterioration. Instead of giving God the glory and God the credit and being thankful, all you want to do is criticize and mock. And then, how about our spiritual heritage? How about our spiritual heritage? Something that really grieves my heart is this. Many professing Christians are mocking, especially those in the generation coming up behind people like myself. They mock their spiritual heritage. They just make fun of it. They make fun of the old standards. I listened to the one this morning, a very dynamic preacher, and he was talking about these old standards that the old timers had, and he was making fun of them, but he was making fun of things like, old timers, they didn't believe in going to theaters, they didn't believe in playing cards, they didn't believe in this, that, and the other, and he was explaining from this present historical context, he was trying to interpret what they were meant, but they were in a whole different historical context. And I thought, these young people you're talking to, they don't know any better. But I know better. You don't know what you're talking about. But I know the goals of those old-time preachers. And you know what? I'm thankful for the spiritual heritage I have. Thankful for the spiritual heritage I have as a fundamental Baptist. I'm very thankful for that. But when people are mocking their spiritual heritage, it shows they've embarked on the path of deterioration. When they're mocking and criticizing, that's all they can do about their family heritage. It shows that they're on this path of deterioration. Listen, be thankful for your family. You ought to be thankful for a family that strove to protect you and to provide for you. You ought to be very thankful of that. Imagine what life would have been like if you had parents that did not care, that did not try to protect you and keep you clean and pure. I remember one of my daughters was in college at Pensacola, and there was a girl there that gave her a hard time, gave her a hard time for a couple of years. And finally one day, the girl, I guess she got things right with the Lord, and she came to my daughter and she said, she apologized. And she said, you know why that I've not liked you so much? She said, why? She said, because you've got parents that loved you and cared for you and disciplined you. And I did not have that. And I was jealous of you. Would to God I'd had parents like yours. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You see, if you had not had parents like that, maybe you would appreciate parents that are trying. No, we ought to be thankful for our family heritage. Listen, nobody has a perfect national heritage, spiritual heritage, or family heritage. But I tell you what, we ought to be thankful for the one we have. Amen? We ought to be very thankful for it. Now, we are on this path of deterioration when we no longer cherish but take for granted the things and the people that God has given to us. When we no longer cherish, but we take for granted the things and the people that God has given to us. I think about church, our churches. Neglect of a church is an early sign that we're beginning to embark on this path of deterioration. Church ought to be something very important to us. It's very important to the Lord Jesus. Amen? Very important. And yet, whenever we start neglecting our church and we just take it for granted, it's going to always be there. No big deal if I miss this Sunday. No big deal if I miss this midweek service. Church has been there all my life. It's going to be there after I'm long gone. And you take those things for granted. You know what? You're beginning on that path of deterioration. And the same is with people. When you neglect your spouse or your children or your grandchildren or your parents or your grandparents, when you just take them for granted and therefore you don't cherish them, you don't enjoy them anymore, you don't want to be around them anymore. It's not that you don't want to be around them, you just don't want to be around them. You don't have that desire. You know what? That shows that you're not thankful anymore, that you're on this path of deterioration. And this is what I want us to see tonight. This is where it begins right here. This is where it begins. This is where it begins with the people that knew God, eventually becoming people that have been turned over to a reprobate mind by God. And it begins right here with refusing to glorify God. And the first evidence of it is, I'm not thankful. I'm not grateful. We get the idea that not being thankful is no big deal. Let me tell you something. It is a big, big deal. It is a big, big deal. Develop in your heart a spirit of gratitude. Instill it in your children, in your grandchildren, your families. This matter of gratitude. Develop it. When you see that you're taking something for granted, realize this is a serious thing that I'm starting on. I'm starting on a path. It seems so innocent, but I know where it's going to lead. God's warned me about that in the book of Romans chapter 1. And oh, may God just help us to be a thankful people. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving, this Thanksgiving Eve, let's take some time. Let's stop and think about what this is about. And let's just determine we're going to be a thankful, thankful people. Amen? We're going to be thankful. I want you to do this. Would you just bow your heads? And Ms. Fleming will come and play a hymn of invitation. And as she does, if you just say, I need to be, come and kneel at the altar tonight, then I encourage you to do that. I'm assuming everybody here probably knows the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. People that know the Lord, they can get careless. And they can get on this path of deterioration. And they can end up their lives, their families, their churches, they can end up in a mess. They can end up in a mess.